Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game-related topics. On tonight's show, we'll be covering what we've been playing, the news, and for our main topic...
Does where you sit affect how much fun you have playing board games, or how well you play?
Yeah.
Depends on what you guys want to think about.
Where you sit, how does it affect the game you're playing?
Yeah, this has been on our list to talk about for months, and so we're finally talking about it.
Yeah,
you guys didn't know it was on our list, but it's been on our list.
It's one I wrote down, but wasn't really sure where to go with.
And we will find out where we're going to go with it.
Yes, and just so you know, there'll be people that we know mentioned repeatedly.
Obviously, always.
Always.
Helps when we play with the same people.
Yes. It's, there is that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with what we've been playing. I got four or five games to talk.
I got carefully. Five, so you got to have the same amount at least.
I wonder if I missed some.
Well, to be fair, one of them was with Jordan, just me and him.
Oh, yeah, so I only got four.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to talk about The Expanse, the board game. This is based on a TV show that I've never watched.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's not true. I've seen it in the background while we play board games.
Right.
Haven't really paid attention. It's fairly popular. I know Jeff at Amazing loves this show. I didn't see any of the theme. I can miss that in a lot of games, as I told them. Even themes that I like, I don't notice that much in games. It is a card playing... Well, how do you do it? You take a card out of the main row and pay victory points for that card. And then you can either use it for the action points or the action that's on it. If you take it for the action points, you can move your ships or move a fleet, put influence out. It's area control at its heart. And then if you take the action, it's usually something that affects the game. It's like move everybody here or something like that. And you get special technologies each age you go up because there's up to six scorings in the game. And each scoring round, victory points get bigger for controlling building or controlling planets. I think there's three belts and... two planets in each belt. So there's six planets you're trying to control. No, seven. Eight? Eight.
You're Let's asking me?
Yeah. It was okay. To me, there was nothing in there that really grabbed me. I'm not a huge area control person because I don't like the swinginess of them. There's some that I don't find that aren't that swingy. So I don't mind them, like a How we played yesterday. That one I didn't mind I don't mind the area control because you can see stuff coming.
Right.
Right? You're not just, okay, I'm moving 12 people into here and now you're out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The cards took screenshots with some text. Components were all cardboard. There was nothing spectacular about the game. The art is plain. It was solid. The best I could say about it. Like, it's just, it wasn't my type of game, and I didn't really get a lot out of it.
Right.
Would I play it again? Probably if somebody wanted to play it, but I'll do that with most games.
Yeah.
There's very few games that I won't play again. But that was The Expanse.
Sweet. Game we got to the table, me and Jordan.
Yes.
It's funny, this is the game that I was trying to think of the name of. I don't know if it was last show or the show before. I think it was the show before that where I was trying to come up with the name from the one from Darrington Press. It's Till the Last Gasp. This is a two-player role-playing battle game, is what I would call it. So basically you and the other person each pick a character. They have pre-made ones or you can make one yourself, and they have... basically like what they're known for, just little things about them to give you an idea of how you're playing this character. You choose one of the maps that they have, and on each of these, just these tiny little maps, they have usually up to six spaces that you can go to, and on each space there's an action that you can take there.
Yep.
As well as the actions that are on the cards you have. You have your individual player boards, where on your turn, or I should say at the beginning of both of your turns, you are going to pick basically what stance you take. One other thing, just back at the beginning, after you pick the map, you decide in this duel, what the end game is. Like, if you're going to go basically to the death, if you're going to go till someone turns, if you're going to go till someone... or just go till, like, defeat. So basically, like, that's the easiest. Till the Last Gasp is the hardest. That's the one where, like, everybody dies, right? Or somebody dies, right? So you get to choose how hard you want your duel to be. After you pick that, then you start the game. You're going to have some dice in front of you, either in offensive or defense, the defensive half of your board, as well as a d20. And then you're going to pick your stance. So each of you pick your stance at the same time. You flip it over. If you pick a defensive stance, there's two cards for that. You roll the defense dice or however many of the defense dice you want to. If you pick offensive, however many of the offensive you want. There's also one called quick. And that one, you can choose either one of the dice. And each of these cards has different types of actions on them. All of these are roleplay based. So things are going to be like, you land a hit on the person, they describe what the injury's like. Or you destroy a piece of scenery, you describe what that's like. Or you move them on the board, or you do the action that's on the board. Or you take what's called a drama card, which are just basically prompts that give you an idea of a situation you have to role play. So it's like, you know, describe why you're in this battle, or describe a hidden motivation somebody might not know about. And so it gives you this prompt to work through this dramatic scene. To take actions, once you roll the dice, you count up how many pips are on each dice, and those give you action points. You can get a lot because you also add how many is on your d20, but you use those action points to do the actions. So having more is good. After three rounds are played and somebody has done all four of the objective cards that you have, so you get objective cards at the start and you are working on those. Those can be things like move somebody into a different area, or, you know, destroy a certain amount of scenery. Once you've completed four of those objectives and you've gone three rounds, then if you have four action points, you can decisively end the battle. That's you winning. So you get to decide, like, how the thing ends, basically. But this is meant to be kind of a collaborative game. That's how this works. So you kind of work together to decide how you're going to end this. If it's a death scene, well, then you describe how you finish it, and you work together to describe that scene. For me and Jordan, we played just till defeat because we kind of wanted our guys not really to be fighting to the death. Like, my guy just kind of wanted to fight because he thought he was cool, and Jordan's guy was like, I'm tired. And so we ended up, he decisively ended the battle, but we ended up, like, his character was going to train mine. It was a lot of fun. It's a really neat game that if you want to do role-playing but you don't really know how, it gives you those prompts and it gives you those ideas to kind of work up to actual role-playing, like improv role-playing. And it's a lot of fun. We had a good time. I hadn't played it in a while. We had played it last year, I guess, and with a little more of an aggressive game. And this one was just a lot of fun bantering back and forth. I don't know. You listened to us the whole time we played. So.
Yes, I couldn't get away from it.
You could have gone upstairs.
Yeah, but I was putting up the...
yeah, you were putting up the game maps. Yeah,
yeah,
it's not for you.
It's not for me.
You would never play this game.
It is not my type of game at all.
Yeah.
But you guys seem to have fun, and... It was more of a negotiation than anything.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, I'm going to do this. Oh, well, maybe not. I'll do this. How's that sound?
Well, because it's a storytelling, right? Like, you're taking your actions and you're doing something, but you can, like, if something doesn't feel right, you can, like, talk to them about that. I do try to, as much as I can, to just like, okay, that works. But sometimes it's like, well, are you sure? Like, I put you in a rattled stance. Are you sure you just move backwards, right? Like, is that all that happens type thing?
And I think it's good for people's communication skills, for people's imagination, for people's ability to talk.
Yeah.
I think for Jordan, I think this game is very good for him.
Yeah.
Right? Because the social side of, you know, the autism is hard for him, right?
Yeah. And it's fun because instead of just like a regular battle game where you're like, I hit the person, you know, like I hit you, that's it, that's done. You have to kind of describe it and come up with how this works. I had a lot of fun, honestly. I was like, I feel already more confident with the idea of like telling a story than I did previously.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of fun with this game, honestly. It was a really good time.
That's good. Another game that we played together was Revive.
Yes, we did.
This was our third game of Revive. Mm-hmm. It has a mini campaign of five games.
Yeah.
We're three games in. I want to finish the next two in the next month or so, hopefully, and then try to play a full game of everything. It none of them add a whole bunch from what I can tell. It's just little tweaks each game. And they could have just given you everything off the start, but I kind of like how they're explaining the different factions that come out and their beliefs, so you can ignore that for the rest of the game. It was funny. Actually, I don't mind reading stories, and that's where I've talked on this that I'm a very big contradiction to myself. I like reading stories. I don't like role-playing. And I don't like theme, but I do like reading the story of these. So yeah.
Well, it's a lot of fun, right?
The one faction was talking, and they were very...
aggressive.
Aggressive, crazy, and we laughed at the end of it, yeah. Right? Because that was the faction that Jordan was playing.
Yeah.
Right? So the game itself, we've talked about both times I think we played it. It's you're playing a car, or there's five actions you can do. You take two of them, and you rinse and repeat. If you don't want to take any of the actions, you can hibernate, which is going to give you more cards back. It's going to flip your one switch that allows you to do some things, and you move up on a track. And if anybody ever hibernates five times, then or no, five or six.
It's six.
Times, then the game ends.
Which we've only gotten to like once.
Yeah, we got in there once, but that was the first game.
Yeah.
Since then, there's artifacts on the board that you can claim, and I think there's 12 of them.
Yep.
Those have always been claimed, like, before somebody hibernates the third or fourth time.
I think fourth, yeah.
Yeah.
We all got to three, but we didn't get to four.
Yeah. I really, really like this game.
It's a great game.
There's an expansion out for it that I watched a review on. I haven't seen the expansion locally yet, but Revive, I know, is in stock at Amazing Stories. I saw it there recently. If you like a good Euro game with some good decisions and some neat interactions or neat actions you can take, I strongly recommend this one. But yeah, this third game, another great time. Still haven't won this game. Or maybe I won against you and Adam.
I don't remember who won that game. Yeah, you're the one who keeps track. So
yeah, I could look, but I can almost guarantee I didn't win it.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. But yeah, it's so good. I ordered a insert for it yesterday just to keep track of the bits a little bit easier for setup to make it a little bit quicker for setting up and taking down. And that's Revive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do one more and we can save some for next week. I talked a long time about Till the Last Gasp. We played a How.
Yes, we did.
This is a... Or How, Rulers of Yucatan. This is a area control game where you basically, on your turn, you're going to say what area you're going to and with what strength, and you put your guy out on the map. And if two people are in the same spot, then you compare your strengths, and the winner stays there, the loser has to move. And then in order, you're going to place a guy out onto one of the cities. If you have a certain tile, you can take the god action if you want to. If you don't want to, then you can choose one of two actions. Well, you would do the one of two actions anyway. You can either produce, which is take resources based on the amount of people that are around that resource by the city. Or you can build. So you can use those resources to build tokens onto your pyramid board that's in front of you.
Yep.
There's also possibilities of buying other buildings and moving things around. It's area control. Your goal is to get people out on the board and control the city so you get points.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of this game. I didn't get it, right? Like it, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's like you said about
the Expanse.
It's fine. It's solid. It's good. But I didn't think it was very intuitive of how to play the game or what you should be doing at all. Like I went through the whole game and I went, I have no idea what I've done or if what I've done has been good. And I kind of understand how the game works, but I have no idea how to win it or really like play well. And there was a whole, like the building tiles, I didn't look at. I didn't touch the building tiles. I had no idea what was going on over there. I was just putting them on my board. I didn't think the iconography was super easy to understand, and the god tokens were also kind of hard to understand.
Yeah, I talked to Jordan on the way to Thirsty Scholar last night, and I said, I think what it could use is a better player aid.
Yeah.
For the gods.
Yeah.
Like, the player aid for your actions.
It's fine. It's good. Yeah. It's
do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Then you reset. Right? But the god actions, they wrote it as a paragraph instead of saying, put this down. Take this action.
Yeah.
Of those colors, take this action. Move on. It would have been a lot more straightforward than the way it was written, because the wording in it is not clean.
It isn't. And also, like, how to use the god was a little confusing, because it's like, you can use it on your board, and then you don't have to discard something, and then you get a bonus point somewhere. Or you can discard something, but you still, like, it was kind of confusing how that all worked.
Yeah. The god part of it is the confusing part.
But it's also a major part of the game,
if you ignore it, you're not going to do well.
Yeah.
I like this game. We've played it, I believe, 4 times now. I've played it at multiple player counts. And I've had fun each time. And it is, at its heart, area control.
Yep.
But I like the whole, this, I have 1 to 6. You know, one of those is going to be where I go. One of them is going to be my power. So if I want to go to area 1 and I take a 6, then I'm not going to be able to go to area 6 later.
Yeah.
Unless I can get into a fight and lose, because then you have to go to one of the adjacent ones. So sometimes you're trying to get into a fight, sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
And I like, because I've played it more, I understand the gods a bit better, but I still forget steps of the gods.
Yeah.
Right? And I do have to read it each time. I'm not like Jordan, where I know them all and that's what happens. Jordan won, but it was very close. Adam was right behind him. There are production issues in this game. The resources are all very tiny. They don't match the color always.
No.
The building tiles that you ignored have symbology that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, which is why I ignored them. Yeah.
So there are some issues with it, but the mechanics are solid, and I enjoy the mechanics of this game. It's not one that I should like that much, but it does it really well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you like area control, you'll probably like it. I probably wouldn't play it again.
For sure. Okay, let's get into the news. I'm David, this is Shaylin, and you're listening to CFCR.
Yeah, so let me get to my actual news page here. First up, CMON and GameFound have formed an exclusive agreement. CMON is going to GameFound. It sounds like they're going to GameFound as their only crowdfund site.
Yeah, they've been using both of them.
Yeah, their first campaign for GameFound was actually earlier this year, Master of the Universe. Is what it said on the post.
Yeah, Master of the Universe was last month.
I just
finished it.
And then the next one will be God of War.
Oh, yes.
That they're doing. But yeah, it sounds like they are partnering and going to be working together. And that's all that CMON's going to be using.
Yeah, I hadn't heard this. There are a lot of companies that have gone this way. GameFound is owned by Awaken Realms.
Right.
But they have sold pieces of it off to different publishers. And everybody says their moderation or mods and stuff like that are better, or you're able to shut down people that are just trolling.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't mean they're censoring anybody that doesn't like the game, but they
people are being jerks.
If you're being a jerk, they can shut you down. Where on Kickstarter, you pledge for $1, you can spam them all you want.
Right.
Right. So it's good.
Yeah. So that's kind of neat. All right. And some games from French publisher Funny Fox. One called Factory of Dreams from Antonin Bokhara. And somebody with my autocorrect just changed his name, so I can't say it correctly. But it's a co-op game where you're creating 5 dreams through the night based on that night's theme. It sounds almost party game-ish. It looks like a board game, but there's thought cards that get put in and tokens that basically get put into flasks. And then everybody is writing one word down that is supposed to connect these thought cards per, like, in each flask there's different themes, right? So you're trying to write one word down that connects those, and then you get points based on if you match other people's. I don't know if it has to be the exact same word or similar. Yeah. Didn't really explain. But it looks really pretty, and it sounds kind of cool. I want to see this one played before I would buy it,
yep.
But it looks interesting.
Cool.
And Treetopia from Florian Syriux. You're taking trees from hostile environment and then putting them into a sanctuary, and you're trying to fill out that sanctuary. So, fun little tree game. We love tree games. Flat River Group has announced 24 game release dates. 24 of them. There is a full list. I will not go through all of them because it's very boring. But a couple interesting ones in February. King of Tokyo Origins. In March, I'd say something like Distilled is coming out.
The expansion.
Yeah. Oh, it just says Distilled and Africa and Middle East expansions and Cask Strength expansion.
Okay, so they've bought the rights.
Probably. Yeah. April, they got something called Starship Interstellar, which sounds cool. And I think the big one for you would be something like in June, Weirdwood Manor is coming out.
They're going to be distributing that.
Oh,
right, they're doing the retail release of it.
So, bunch of games. You can go look those up. Tons of games that were announced up until June. So
yeah, they cover off a lot of publishers.
Yeah.
They had a big presence at Gen Con. That's who Dani Lowe is with. And so I see a lot of their stuff because she does a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last, Magic the Gathering is releasing Magic the Gathering Ravnica Clue. Which is a deduction game. It is Clue, but it's more like Clue Battle. You're fighting each other and casting spells to find out who did the murder.
Yeah.
It's a wild name, and it's a wild-looking box, and I do not understand it at all, but hey, money.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah. And that is the news.
Yeah, I didn't hear a lot of news.
There's not a lot of crazy stuff going on right now.
It's sort of a down period. It'll start ramping up again.
As we get closer to Gen Con.
Yeah, Gen Con and Origins and Gamma and stuff. And people are already talking about going to Gamma. And I think Dice Tower West is coming up right away in Vegas. So, yeah. Okay, let's get into our main topic. We got about 6 minutes to beat this around. And it is... Where you sit, does it affect A, how well you do, or B, how much fun you're going to have?
Yeah.
Right?
I would say, first off, this is going to be entirely based on who you're playing with.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and so knowing that, I would say in our group, probably yes, for certain games. There are certain people I don't always want to be beside because I know that, like, there was a time with, I don't remember what game it was, if I sat behind you, you would take my cards, all the cards, before I would ever get the chance to look at them. It might have been Styx, actually, like, way back. So there's definitely ones where it's like, you'll notice if you play beside somebody, they always take the action that you kind of want to do right before you get to do it.
Yeah. What I find is if I'm playing with somebody that has a similar play style, sitting to the left of them or after they go can really hamper how well I do.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're going to take similar actions to me and they're going to get to the stuff that I want first.
Right.
Cards, like any like Kaiser, trick taping games, Rummy, any of those, where you sit at that table can really define what happens in that game. As you say, it's dependent on who you're playing with. But if you're with five people that don't know how to play a game...
You're probably fine.
Then it's not going to affect... Yeah. Where you're sitting doesn't matter. But I know playing Azul, I sat behind Dan one time. And I had the worst game of my life. Because it's not that he was hate drafting. He just took the right one.
Yeah.
Right?
It's interesting because actually as we... And literally, as we talked about this for 2 minutes, I'm realizing what this really is does turn order affect?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Because in historically, board games, turn order is based clockwise, right? So if you sit, depending on who's sitting and who goes in front of you, that definitely affects how it's going to play. Things like Whirling Witchcraft, right? Who you're sitting next to definitely is going to affect because some of them might be meaner than others.
Yeah.
Which this can get mitigated with the games that turn order changes.
Yes, there's lots of games now that the turn order is random. So it could be, you know, me across the table to my right, yeah, to my left, back to me, that type of idea. So this isn't just about turn order. You know,
yeah,
as for having fun, yeah, I want to sit beside people I know.
Yeah, and I prefer to sit with people that I have a good time with. But generally, if you're playing board games with people, there's a good chance you know them and yes, you're going to have a good time. Yeah. So I don't think you lose fun based on where you sit too much. It has to be a pretty harsh game for you to lose fun based on who you sit next to.
And no board game that we play has 12 people around the table, so you can't talk to anybody that's
Between Two Cities is the only one I've played that's big. And to be honest, that game was excellent with a ton of people. So, yeah.
But even then, it's 7 people.
Yeah.
You know, I can still look across.
You can still talk to somebody,
you
right?
Know, you are more focused on your right and your left.
Yeah.
But I think... I think really, as you said it, this comes down to turn order more dependent on than where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And one game we didn't talk about what we played yesterday was In the Year of the Dragon.
Yeah.
And
oh, gosh. I was thinking that. Yeah.
Turn order was huge.
I got screwed. Well, I didn't get screwed. I screwed myself in that game by not, early on getting my turn order up, and then I never got to the front and I didn't get to do anything. Yeah. Like I could barely do anything. It was a huge disadvantage.
Yeah, and I stayed at the front the entire game except for one turn, and it helped me, but not completely.
Yeah.
I didn't win the game, but I did better than I should have.
Yeah, and so it wasn't necessarily the people that were beside me, but the fact that there were people ahead of me definitely changed what I could do, right? And that does kind of go with, in a general clockwise order, that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and I will always want to sit to the, if I can, to the right of Jordan.
Yeah.
So I can go before him.
Right.
Because he takes my stuff
yep.
all the time.
That's because he's a master hate drafter. I was after him in Azul as well. And that this isn't Dan taking the right ones. This is Jordan will absolutely take the one that hurts him least, but also will hurt you the most.
And this term, hate drafting, well...
It's lovingly said.
It's lovingly
said hate drafting.
It's as you said, it's something that's going to help him,
yeah,
but not help others. Right?
Just to be clear, hate drafting is when you take something that you know somebody else wants, or in the case of Azul, you leave something that you know will hurt the other person.
Yes.
This is a fact of a game. This happens all the time, and it can be annoying if it's done in the wrong way, but for the most part, it's just a thing that happens, and it's a strategy.
Here's my thing. I want to play with somebody who wants to win the game.
Yeah.
And I respect somebody that'll do something to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Or not to hurt somebody, but to help them win.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I will still get mad as heck at Jordan for hate drafting. But it
makes sense, right? It's
going to
happen.
As to what he's yeah. doing, right?
But definitely that is where turn order, yeah. or not turn order or sitting
yes.
will most affect. If you're behind somebody who absolutely will do that and you yeah. know they will fight to win, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, in a trick-taking game, if I can go last, I can
yeah.
control that entire hand.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's just that simple. You know, I can make sure the right person gets it and the wrong person doesn't. And,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, there is that control that way. So this is our ramblings on
where
turn
you sit,
order, apparently.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay, have a good night.